30 years ago this month, a television show changed the way networks think about TV and how millions of Americans view policing and the criminal justice system.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
That's right, Cops, one of the longest-running shows on television. It premiered in June 1989 as an unscripted show filmed by TV camera crews, following police officers on the job. But the show has also raised serious legal questions about the policing it portrays and the rights of the people arrested on camera. On today's installment of The Docket, our series examining the legal system, we take a closer look at Cops and the long-term impact of the show on American justice. There have been more than 1,000 episodes of Cops, and our guest, journalist Dan Taberski, has seen a lot of them.
Well, I've seen about 500, but we as a team watched 846, logged and cataloged all the things that we were seeing in the show.
Logged and cataloged 846 episodes of Cops.
Correct. We were after that number because that was all we could get our hands on.
Now, you host a podcast called Running from Cops.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't just watched the show, you've dissected it.
Yeah.
For those unfamiliar with Cops, what's the standard format of a single episode?
Cops is basically real police officers following and usually arresting real citizens. Each episode is broken down into 3 segments. Each segment is about a 7-minute interaction between a citizen and a police officer. No music except for the theme song, no narration. It's pretty much the simplest reality show out there, I would say.
But Dan, in most reality TV, like, say, The Bachelor or even the court shows like Judge Judy, participants sign up first.
Yes,
that
yes.
means signing a release before the camera starts rolling. That doesn't happen in Cops, right?
No, it doesn't. In real life, you know what you're getting into, right? On a show like Cops, they start filming first and they ask for permission after the fact. The producers of Cops, John Langley, he has said over the years many times that citizens gladly sign on to be on the show because they want to be famous, even if it's Cops famous. And I've always found that a little bit hard to believe. So we decided to try to track down the people who are on the show, which is very, very difficult. And once you find them, they're not super psyched to talk about being on Cops. Of the 9 that we did find, only one said they signed willingly. The rest said they either didn't sign, they were too drunk or high to know if they did or not, or that they were coerced by police officers and producers working together.
Which gets me to my next question, what fans of the show may not know, which is that Cops actually makes deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the police departments across the country that we see on Cops. Tell us about that.
Correct. Over 150 police departments across the country have participated in the show Cops over the past 30 years. Each of these departments signs a contract with the production company, and the contract basically allows the police department final cut on each episode. And the police departments can change anything they, quote, deem necessary. So they can veto whatever they want. So whereas a viewer might be looking at the show and think they're seeing a raw version of policing, basically what they're seeing is a whitewashed version of policing that the police themselves control.
But the suspects, of course, do not.
No.
And you start seeing the same communities over and over again portrayed in this negative light. And some communities have pushed back on their police departments dealing with shows like Cops and its spiritual successor, Live PD. Last year, Spokane, Washington passed an ordinance requiring the city itself have oversight over any footage, with particular concern about how the shows, well, make people look. Here's a community member speaking during a Spokane City Council hearing on the topic.
Who are they chasing? They're chasing black men. Who are they tackling? Brown men. And who are they ultimately arresting? More black men.
Now, Dan, black and brown people make up more than a third of the total prison and jail population in the U.S. Is that what Cops looks like?
Yes and no. In the first season of the show, the producers tell me a story about how the NAACP called up and said, you're showing too many black people as suspects, way out of proportion to real life. And their solution, as inelegant as it was to shift shooting to more predominantly white neighborhoods in whiter cities like Spokane, Washington, like Portland, Oregon, which is where it gets the patina of poor white shirtless dudes getting arrested. That's where that comes from. What we found is that the amount of black men and women arrested on the show Cops roughly translate to the amount of black men and women being arrested in real life, which is about 29%. But what happens is if you drill down a little further, what you see is that they position crime by people of color in the first part of the show. So a black man or woman arrested on the show Cops is 17% more likely than a white man or woman to be featured before the first commercial break, which is traditionally in television the most compelling footage because you want to keep people sitting through the commercials, right?
Well, that's deeply troubling that they're manipulating race in such an insidious way.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell if it's conscious or unconscious, but it's certainly real.
The Cops world is a lot scarier than the real world.
Sure.
Let's talk about an incident that you highlight on the podcast, talking a little bit more about the problematic legal nature of Cops. Back in 2013, an episode of Cops had an officer in Georgia questioning a couple he'd come across in a church parking lot, and he ends up running a drug test on some powder he says he found in their car.
And that would be cocaine. The blue hue on the pink on the bottom, that's positive for cocaine.
Except that it wasn't cocaine, and the woman later sues the police department, the officer, and the show Cops, and accuses the officer of planting fake drugs to show off for the cameras. So, Dan, what happens to the people arrested on the shows when they end up in court, and what's their recourse?
Very little. I mean, the people who run Cops have a lot of money. It's Hollywood. It's big networks. It's big production companies with a lot of lawyers. And they're doing a show that's basically built on showing, you know, if it's not the worst day of their life, it's certainly not one of the greatest, and showing those moments of people who have very little power to fight back. They don't have the resources. They don't have the connections. They don't know attorneys. They don't have the money to pay for these things. I mean, how would you even begin? And so it's a show where if you feel like you've been wronged by the show, and I gotta say, we've found many people who feel that way, they also felt an equal amount of powerlessness in terms of doing something about it.
And I would think the presence of the camera only adds to the confusion, intimidation, coercion.
100%. I mean, we heard so many stories about people, before you know it, you know, there's police officers there, they're on the ground, there's camera lights in your face, people are screaming, there's producers handing you releases. Like, these are not situations where people feel like they can make rational, thoughtful decisions about whether or not they want to be in a television show or not.
So let's take the aerial view. Has Cops changed the way Americans view the criminal justice system? And if so, how so?
When Cops premiered in 1989, it was the first time that a mass audience could see police doing their job. Not just giving a press conference, not just fictionalized versions of police, real police doing their real jobs. And it was radical. And people took it quite seriously. And for the past 30 years, that has been the dominant cultural depiction of policing in America. Of course, that changed once YouTube and iPhones came around and everybody could sort of put their own interactions on their own networks on YouTube and show what was really happening. But before then, this is how we saw policing.
Our guest on the docket has been Dan Taberski. His podcast, Running from Cops, goes behind the scenes of the show and sheds light on how it gets made and how it has impacted the people in it.